All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Lando's not a system, he's a man. Lando Calrissian. Card player, gambler, scoundrel, you'd like him. Card player, gambler, scoundrel, you'd like him.
You truly belong here with us, fun class. You truly belong here with us, fun class. You truly belong here with us, fun class. Belong here with us, fun class. You truly belong here with us, fun class.
Hello, what have we here? Hello, what have we here?
Lando's not a system, he's a man. Lando Calrissian. Lando's not a system, he's a man. Lando's not a system, he's a man. Lando's not a system, he's a man. Lando Calrissian. Card player, gambler. Scum, you'd like it. Card player, gambler. Scum, you'd like it.
Hello, what have we here?
Hello.
Hello.
Déjà vu.
Yes.
What is, this happens too often.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 246. Hi. Thought I was going to screw up there.
I did. I had no faith.
Nope. You should have had faith.
But you've schooled me.
Yep. And while schooling you, I will school everybody that we're going to call the episode tonight Marvel and DC Take Note.
That's right.
And we'll get into that a little bit later on.
Absolutely.
We're also going to address a phone call we got on the GVM line.
That's right. 425-920-6050.
Is the number you can call to leave a message, leave a comment if you have a question you'd like to hear us answer about any topic, about
sure.
the show, about comics, all the things that we discuss, toys, etc. We're more than happy to address those issues.
We are.
So, that said, OG, let's roll right into it.
Okay.
Geek stuff. What's
all
in the
right.
news?
So, the Twisted Geniuses, reading this news article, over at Robot Chicken, have Nathan Fillion, Neil Patrick Harris, Megan Fox, and a few others all lined up to do what? Take a guess.
The Adventures of Captain Hammer.
No, but that would be really awesome. No, it's actually just a DC Comics special.
Okay.
So I don't know who Fillion's playing. Maybe Green Lantern.
Of course he's playing.
And I'm assuming Megan Fox is going to be Wonder Woman.
Really?
And
she's not really Wonder Woman.
I have no idea. Let's see. It says the voice cast includes Green as Batman, Seth Green as Batman, as Batman, Robin, and Aquaman. Jesus. Uh-huh. Paul Reubens as the Riddler.
That is Pee-wee Herman. Sir.
That's right. Neil Patrick Harris as Two-Face. Uh-huh. Alfred Molina as Lex Luthor.
Uh-huh. That's, you know who Alfred Molina is.
Yes. Doc Ock. Tevye.
What?
He was in Fiddler on the Roof. He was in a production of Fiddler, wasn't he? Oh,
in a production?
Yeah, you say it wasn't the movie. Tevye,
you go right to the movie. And that was Topol.
That was Topol.
Who played Dr. Hans Zarkov.
That's right.
Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
And according to Melody Anderson, you should have called him Hans Zarkov. Yeah. He was a little feely.
Because he was not hands off?
He was a little feely.
Nathan Fillion as the Green Lantern. Megan Fox as Lois Lane. Uh-huh. And Breckin Meyers as Superman.
Breckin Meyer. Uh-huh.
But what I don't understand is in the photo that they have, they have a in the little cast photo that they have Wonder Woman. Now, this could be the old superpower spoofs that they used to do, probably. I guess. So I'm just surprised that Wonder Woman isn't in there. Or I wonder if that's an oopsie in the story or maybe she's doing both. I don't know. Seems odd to
me. Megan Fox is so over.
But I think she's preggers too.
Yeah, of course.
With Brian Austin Green's
which is
baby.
Like, which is awesome because that's like, you know, done and goodbye.
Yeah, that's a weird mix.
Now, like all she needs now is some naked photos to surface, and which, that will just nail the coffin shut.
I know, but it would be great. I mean,
no, it wouldn't because it's just over.
I know.
And after you've seen Scarlett Johansson, who cares?
I will agree with you on that.
Look, let's just say it right now. Scarlett Johansson's career is over. It was about the mystery. I'm not saying she's not a good-looking woman. She is. Is she an a great actress? No, she's a competent one. And as such, it was the mystery. You know, it was the intrigue. Lore. It was the same reason we like Wolverine, except, you know, they don't pop out of her hands.
Right.
Unless, you know, they're in really, really good photography. But the point is that's over. And now it's the same thing with Megan Fox. You have now done two things with Megan Fox that are irretractable. One, she dumped out of the Transformers movie,
right.
And then she said crap about the other ones.
Right.
So that puts a big giant X on her. And then pregnant is two X's, which is three strikes, you're out.
I like Jennifer's body.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did actually. It was actually because it was a decent, campy, funny horror movie. I liked it for the same reason I liked Feast and Slither.
Ugh.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. This past weekend, Peter Jackson screened for a CinemaCon crowd. I don't know what CinemaCon is. You know
must
what that
be
is?
Must be a British thing.
Yeah, it's an annual gathering of the National Association of Theater Owners.
Oh, okay. So it's a convention for theater owners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently at this, Tim Burton screened some Dark Shadows stuff. Nolan screened some Rises stuff. And Peter Jackson screened some Hobbit stuff.
Okay.
One of which was a Gandalf scene, which is something that was not in the book. And while there's no footage online, because I'm sure that it was strictly enforced, there is a brief synopsis of which I will read now.
Okay.
There's a significant scene where Gandalf is presenting. I should say that this comes from comingsoon.com. Edward Douglas is the reporter over there. There's a significant scene where Gandalf is presenting the immortal blade to a council made up of Christopher Lee's Saruman, Cate Blanchett's Galadriel, and Hugo Weaving's Elrond as they discuss the sword's origins and how Gandalf was able to get it from the crypt of the Witch King, where he was buried in a tomb covered with spells, preventing it from being opened. We then see Gandalf going through that same tomb, peering around a corner where the birds fly out, blah, blah, blah. Behind him is one dwarf who we could not identify from the footage. Birds fly around him. Gandalf lights up the tomb, and I guess he procures said blade.
Okay.
So
we have no idea what this scene is.
No, it's something that was, I guess, I'm sure that it was something that was not in The Hobbit, but was alluded to either in The Hobbit or in Lost Tales or in somewhere that was filmed. Look, we know that this movie is filled. We know that The Hobbit movies, first thing,
plural,
is filled with stuff that was not in The Hobbit. So this doesn't come to a surprise, or this should not come to a surprise to anybody, really.
Speaking of coming as a surprise,
yeah.
The new Batman Rises trailer. Yes. Batman, no, what is it? The Dark Knight Rises.
Uh-huh.
Trailer. Going to be in front of Avengers.
Yes, and also, what else is in front of Avengers? There's a new Spider-Man trailer as well.
Yeah, but that's expected. It's a Marvel property.
Right.
But the fact that a Warner property is going to be in front of it, well, I think that's funny.
You know, it's whoever buys time. And you also have to think about it. Spider-Man, while certainly a Marvel property, is not Marvel Studios.
No, I understand.
It's Sony. So
there's
just
still a connection there.
No, I know, but you know how these work.
It's a shared relationship.
I think Avengers is kicking off what is slated to be a big deal
this
movie season. And so, you know, there it is. All right. So let's see. I have a couple of things here. Do you have something you want to do first?
I have a couple.
Sure.
MTV is reporting that DC will launch an all-new He-Man and the Masters of the Universe comic book series written by James Robinson, illustrated by Philip Tan and Rui Jose.
All right. So my comment on this is, if they treat this the same way that Voltron is currently being treated, then it could be excellent.
Okay, but they're not.
Okay, so there you go.
They're starting off with this whole thing. Skeletor is established as the master of Castle Grayskull, and He-Man and the other heroes are now mere peasants with no idea of their heroic destiny. All that will change when a mysterious sorceress intervenes to reset reality, blah, blah, blah. Sounds like an awful idea. I really don't understand why they keep beating that dead horse, but they keep doing it.
Well, you know, Masters of the Universe is still somewhat viable. The Maddie line, whether you buy it or like it or not, sells well.
Well, they hope to appeal to those
persons, clearly,
of course, but clearly. They're not going to, I'm afraid. Also, in some additional news, Madeleine Leingal's A Wrinkle in Time. This feels like a book I read when I was about 9. Does that sound right?
Yeah. By the time you were 9, it was probably in its like... Oh, no, that might have been its first printing.
Oh, I get it. I'm old. Anyway, the point is that Hope Larson has completed an adaptation of A Wrinkle in Time for Farrar, Straus, and Giraud. It'll be out in October. So I will be interested to see that because I do have fond memories of that story. And my last bit of comic-y book news.
Yeah.
Oni has decided to launch a comprehensive full-color reissue program for the entire Scott Pilgrim series, starting in August with the release of Scott Pilgrim Color Edition Hardcover Number 1. 2 books per year with Scott Pilgrim Color Edition Hardcover Volume 2 following in October, after which readers can look for spring and fall releases until the series is complete. 6x9 hardcover volume features new covers by Brian Lee O'Malley, who's the creator, Nathan Fairbairn. Where are they getting these freaking names?
I don't know. They pull them out of a name hat.
Fairbairn. Colorist for Batman Inc. and Swamp Thing will be the guy doing the coloring. So check that out. I'm really excited because I've never read Scott Pilgrim.
All right. So I was just going to say the same thing. I'm really excited because I've read volume 1 of Scott Pilgrim. It was loaned to me by a friend of the show, who I think I've never returned it to.
Nice.
Sorry, Raph. But it's somewhere in a box.
Oh, it was Raph?
Yeah.
Oh, Raph the book stealer? So it's fine.
But I'm excited because this is a great opportunity, I think, to finally have nice collections of this series. I love the movie.
Oh, yeah,
I love the property overall.
Right.
So it would be good to really delve into
it. Yeah, I'm really excited about getting the opportunity to read that. Yeah.
Sure. So Lobo is back on the radar and will likely suck.
Back on the radar, the movie?
The movie.
Okay.
All right. Now, the reason I say it will likely suck, Lobo is a movie or is a property that has been bouncing around Warner Brothers for...
Ever.
I'm going to say the past 10 to 15 years.
At least.
All right. The last person who was tagged to it was Guy Ritchie.
To direct.
Now, Guy Ritchie, with the character Lobo, could really be a good movie. Guy Ritchie did not do it, instead decided to do Sherlock Holmes, and we are all happy for that.
Absolutely.
That being said, Brad Peyton, who most recently directed Journey to the Mysterious Island, just got the nod, or has just been tapped by Joel Silver, producer, to rewrite and direct Lobo. Now, the reason I say that this will likely fail is because this guy just directed Journey to the Mysterious Island. So Journey 1 was not a great film. Journey 2, from what I understand, may have done okay numbers, but it certainly was not a box office hit. And Journey 2 is a kids movie.
Yep. Lobo.
Lobo
should not be a kids movie.
Is a violent, cursing, biker space alien.
Right.
So.
Enough said.
Enough said. Which is appropriate, funny enough. Guy Pearce has been tapped to play a role in Iron Man 3.
Oh, well, that actually, you know, Guy Pearce all of a sudden is doing a lot of work lately.
That Prometheus, movie, Lockdown.
Other things.
I actually like Guy Pearce. I got no beef for Guy Pearce.
Nope.
You know, going all the way back to, was it the Count of Monte Cristo?
Count of Monte Cristo.
I love.
L.A. Confidential.
L.A. Confidential.
Yeah, he's great.
So,
doesn't get enough work. He just did that Mildred Pierce HBO miniseries.
Yeah, I didn't see that. But
it was great,
But so he's been in final talks, which is all but confirmed, to play geneticist Aldrich Killian in Iron Man 3. So the script for Iron Man 3, or the basic premise for Iron Man 3, is at least partially based on, we talked about this, I think, I want to say we talked about this before the first time,
okay,
our break, like back last June, almost, right, July. It's based loosely on Warren Ellis's Iron Man run Extremis. In that storyline, the character of Killian, Aldrich Killian, is the geneticist and scientist who creates the nanotechnology that Tony Stark implements to evolve the Mark Four, I guess it is, okay, to the further levels.
Okay.
So right now the armor is still very much kind of mechanical and tied into,
right,
the
thing.
But as you know, in the books, it eventually becomes almost like a living organism, sort of. That's kind of it. It's not like Venom is a living organism, but it becomes much more in tune,
like, to danger,
to Stark. So that's done through nanotechnology, and this is the guy who apparently is going to do that. So that's all right. It's kind of like a bit role, I think. We'll see. We'll see how significant it is, if at all.
Okay.
So there's that. In the who gives a fuck, news story of the week.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. So I think this was some reporter for Movie Phone, if I'm reading this story correctly. Approached Stan Lee recently in an interview and asked him his thoughts and opinions on Jack Kirby not being mentioned in the credits of the Avengers movie.
Right.
Okay, and Stan Lee is. And Stan Lee was pretty much, his response pretty much was, well, I'm mentioned in the credits because I'm an executive producer.
Right.
That's part of my contract with all of these films. I get referenced as an executive producer.
Right.
I'm not mentioned as a creator or co-creator or anything like that. So his response was, what would Kirby's mention be? And I have no control over it.
Right.
That's the people at Marvel Films,
right,
why Kirby isn't in the credits. And there are a couple people who are like, oh, that's Stanley's a dick. And there's a couple people like, Stanley's right.
Yeah.
I mean, if Stanley was mentioned as a creator of the characters and Kirby was not, huge omission. However, if he's listed as an executive producer, fine. Marvel doesn't have to give credit to the creators in the credits. No. They have to say that it's based on characters created for Marvel Comics. That's where it has to stop. Should Marvel give credit to Kirby and Stan Lee as creators? Maybe they should. I don't really think that this is a gross omission on Marvel's part. Nope. I'd love to trash them on this, but I don't really think that this is a big deal. And then the final bit that I have, Chris Roberson. Do you know who this is?
No.
He's a writer for DC. Most recently worked on Fables, Superman, and a couple other things.
Yeah.
So apparently he announced via Twitter that he is leaving DC Comics.
Okay.
Because he is less than pleased with how DC treats their writers. And I quote, "Having an afternoon cocktail to celebrate the end of my time at DC," he wrote, "aside from the Ferrest arc," which was a Fables arc,
right,
"that I had already committed to doing, iZombie will be the last time I ever write for DC. In response to some questions from fans, why this is happening, sorry, in a better world, characters like the Legion would be owned by a more ethical company, but sadly not in this one. The short version is, I don't agree with the way they treat other creators and their general business practices. I decided quite some time ago, but waited until after the cancellation of my book was announced to discuss it." And then he says, Robertson also cited an excellent op-ed over at the Comics Alliance written by David Brothers, dubbed the ethical rot behind Before Watchmen and the Avengers.
Uh-huh.
So apparently he's just less than pleased with how DC treats their writers. And
DC and Marvel, take note.
Right. Which really kind of ties into the show's title.
Yeah.
Are we going to address that now? We might as well.
Yeah, let's actually talk about it. The Eisner Award nominees are announced. These are the Excellence in Comic Arts Awards that are given every year.
Right.
And a plethora of independent books and nary a Marvel or DC book or really associated person mentioned. Daredevil.
Right.
Got nominated for Best Single Issue for Issue 7.
Okay.
Also nominated for Best Continuing Series, as did Ultimate Comics Spider-Man. That's really about, you know,
it for Marvel.
Yeah, some other Vertigo stuff from DC. Not a lot of DC stuff in here either. I was very surprised that the actual amount of independent books that are, you know, being nominated in these categories. We know a lot of these nominees.
Sure.
And we've had some of the nominees on our show, of course, and that's all great. I was just really taken by the fact. Now, I know this has been an increasing trend over the last couple of years, that more independent books were, you know, coming, but or being nominated rather. But man, this is like outrageous.
I'm surprised only because I think some of the writing for the DC New 52 titles have been really top notch.
Well, this goes back to Chris Robinson, and that is, you know, the fact that he's recognized and pointing out the fact that, you know, it's those kind of things that are really turning people off to comics. You know, that sort of rot from within, right, is that's exactly the kind of thing I think it's turning people off. Let's talk about the best writer category, can we?
Sure, absolutely.
The nominees are Cullen Bunn for The Sixth Gun from Oni.
Right.
Which is a great book, which we've talked about a bunch. Mike Carey for The Unwritten, which is a Vertigo book.
Right.
Jeff Jensen for Green River Killer, A True Detective Story,
right,
which is a Dark Horse book. Jeff Lemire, who wrote a lot of stuff for DC. Animal Man, Flashpoint, Frankenstein and the Creatures of the Unknown, Frankenstein, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Sweet Tooth, all DC or Vertigo books.
Right. He deserves, that's a good nominee. I would agree with that one.
And Mark Waid for Irredeemable, Incorruptible, and Daredevil.
All right.
Now, so the said... Let's justify it here. Of all of those, the only one truly probably nominated for their work in either DC or Marvel is Lemire, because Mark Waid is undoubtedly being recognized for Irredeemable and Incorruptible because they are amazing books.
Sure.
Yes, he happens to also be writing Daredevil, which was nominated for a couple as well. Bravo. But what about the rest of them?
All indies.
You know, Mike Carey for The Unwritten, which is technically a Vertigo book, but I don't count Vertigo as DC. It's kind of like accidentally DC.
Right, yeah, it skirts, you know, that line.
It does skirt that line, you know, and that easily could have been published by other people. It's, you know, Vertigo stuff, sure, is all proprietary, I think, to the creator, I think. There's some sort of thing there.
Right.
Let's ask Neil Gaiman about that.
I was just going to say Neil would know.
Yeah, and again, let's talk about, you know, because it's related, the best writer-artist category.
Okay.
So this is people who are doing it all.
Right.
Right? Rick Geary, The Lives of Sacco and Vazzanetti. We talked about that book on this program, the Treasury of 20th Century Murder series.
Right.
It was Victorian Murder before. Terry Moore for Rachel Rising. Sarah Oleski. The woman who writes Ivy for Oni.
Oh, right, right.
His name is Craig Thompson for Habibi. This is the guy that wrote Blankets and,
yep,
and won all these awards when Blankets came out, 100 years ago. This is his follow-up. Not really a follow-up, but this is his latest phone
work.
Book. Yeah, we also talked about that on this program at some point. Jim Woodring for The Congress of Animals from Fantagraphics. Harvest of Fear in The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror from Boingo. Those are the nominees for Best Writer Artist. And with the exception of Mike Carey, I'm sorry, with the exception of nobody, there are no DC and Marvel people in there.
I'm just surprised that there are not more. I don't know. I really think that there are some good books coming out of New 52. I really think, for example, I honestly feel that Snyder could be nominated for the Talon series. I think that's one of the, I'm serious, that's one of the best Batman stories I've read.
I totally agree.
In a really long time.
I totally agree.
So, but look, you're right. There is a tide. You know, and we've been seeing this. This is not new. This is a trend, and every year it gets a little bit more apparent. And this year, it's glaringly apparent.
Right.
And Marvel and DC take note.
So today in the comic shop,
yes,
I was called a waiter.
A waiter?
A waiter.
What does that mean?
Because everyone was asking me, you know, in the comic shop I shop in, you know,
right,
most people know who I am. They know about the show and so on and so forth. And that I was like, they're like, are you going to read the new 52 stuff? Not new 52, the new Watchmen stuff, the prequel stuff. I said, I'll probably read it when it's in trade. And everyone started calling me a waiter. So that's apparently the new phrase for people who are not going to pluck down all that money until the trade comes out.
I like to call you smart for that decision.
Yeah. Waiter. That's what I was called.
If they want to be nitpicky and call you a waiter, they're entitled to do that. You're being frugal and smart.
I think so. And I have really cut back.
I know. So have I.
A lot. You were down to zero.
I know. So actually, maybe I've increased.
You're going the other direction.
I'm going in the other direction. All right. With that being said.
Yes.
OG. I think we could take our first break.
Let's do that. We'll take our first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 246, Marvel and DC Take Note.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
Hey, this is Jules Day from Firefly.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me.
Hey, Big Kevin OG. This is Scott, or at YMIN Ohio on Twitter. Congratulations on 6 great years, more or less, of Geek Stuff. I've been a fan ever since the first Live XM show. Lately, I've been following quite a few podcasts that have started doing live shows with a chat room and a call-in for audience participation, much like the XM experience. Have you guys given that any thought? I think your fans would get a kick out of it, even if it was only occasionally. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Thanks for the show, guys.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 246, DC and Marvel Take Note.
Marvel and DC.
Ah, come on. Mostly right.
You were close.
Mostly right.
You know, if we didn't say this earlier, of course, you know, there are many ways that you can be a part of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Of course.
One would be Twitter.
That's right. At BK Geek Stuff for the show and at Geek Stuff OG for myself.
Uh-huh. And there's also the Facebook.
Facebook.com/BK Geek Stuff.
Yeah. Which we'd like you to definitely go over there and friend, you know.
Of course.
We have a couple of contests running.
That's right.
The
one
Green
of which
Hornet.
We'll talk about shortly.
Well, let me just talk about it now.
All right,
Green Hornet contest. That ends on May the 8th, Ocho de Mayo.
Ocho de Mayo.
Right. That, of course, follows the holiday.
Right.
Which is May the 4th be with you.
That's right.
And so that's Ocho de Mayo. We will end the Green Hornet contest. And then the Tell a Friend contest.
Correct.
Full details of which are on the website each and every week. Thank you, OG.
Absolutely.
And that, we've decided, is going to end on June. It's Wednesday, June the something.
Eighth. It's the first Wednesday in June, which happens to be the 8th.
Coincidentally.
So yes, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for that.
Yep.
5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the other one, for the Green Hornet contest. And the hashtag for that is still on the website as well. I'll carry that over for the next two episodes.
I don't know what that means.
And
but okay.
The Twitter people know.
Oh.
And
I'm not a Twitter people.
I think with that we can address that phone call that we came into the break with.
Right. And that is our new live segment sponsor. What was his name? Scott from Wyoming?
Ohio, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah.
This thing was like,
it's YMNIOH. I know who he is. I talk to him on the Twitter.
Oh, you do?
Often. Oh, yeah. Fan of the show. See. I will say, though, that
Ohio, Wyoming, what's the difference?
Whatever. They're nowhere near each other, but that's okay. He asked about doing live shows with an active chat room.
Yeah.
We did do that. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, we've done that.
When Mr. Fantastic was still part of the show.
Yes.
Our
foray into TV.
That's right. Remember, we had a studio set up and live shows. And that was right around episode 100, wasn't it? Or
I believe it was after.
Remember, because we were planning a big party in studio. There was going to be pizza and beverages.
Was 150, I think, wasn't it? Or maybe 200?
No, 200 was the party.
We did that in the museum.
In the museum.
Right.
I think it was episode 100. I want to say it was 100. Wow, yeah. Either 100 or it was like the 3-year anniversary.
Something like that.
But anyway, we did do that. And we have discussed it. And actually, we were really close to doing that. All of that last year.
Before the Great Flood.
Right.
And theft.
Right. But before a monitor ran away. With all of our equipment.
That's right. Former producer Monitor.
And before your personal deity of choice destroyed what was left.
Right.
What Monitor.
The Great Flood.
Oh, I just really, we totally forgot a spoilerific news story. We could pepper that in someplace else.
Okay.
Sorry, brain fart. That is something we do want to get back to.
Yes.
I would say that the likelihood of it happening every week is probably not.
Not at least right away.
Not right away.
We certainly would like to be doing at least one a month.
Yeah, I was even thinking for our initial launch, it might be like a quarterly thing,
right.
And then we'll get to hopefully one a month. I don't want to say look for it in 6 months or 8 months, because to be honest with you, we still have kinks that we're trying to work out. We still haven't gotten all of our phone call issues worked out, and we're still really trying to get the show. Our goal has always been to get this portion of the show to 100%.
Right.
And then work on all of the other aspects. And it's one of the reasons Studio V hasn't come back in full swing either.
Right.
Which will likely return before those live components.
Right.
But who knows? That might be in conjunction with those live components. So
sure.
I would say look forward to it, but
we also
I don't know
have, you know, and there's the other things we've been doing also is we've been trying, you know, like OG said, to get everything on this side of things back up and running to 100%.
Sure.
And that includes bringing stuff back up to speed, like Super Game stuff.
Right, which I spoke to Cocolodge with. Those will be returning in the next week, actually, I think.
Uh-huh. And I think Little Fifi's Who stuff is returning either next week or the week after.
Most excellent.
So we also have those things. So we're trying to get those things back up and running to 100%. And once we do, that will give us the freedom to then say, okay, now how can we take this to the next?
Right.
You know, we already discussed it. We knew how we were doing it and so on and so forth. And then the bottom fell out of everything.
Right.
So just give us time. We'll get there. We are branching out into different venues, however.
Sure.
There is... I don't know if that is that thing up and running yet.
What?
That
More thing? Like Radio?
Yeah.
More Like Radio is up and running. Okay. I think every Thursday or every Tuesday, maybe. I forget when we air. But if you go to morelikeradio.com,
right.
Some great shows over there, by the way. Otto and George's show, I think, is over there.
Is that right?
Hippo Juice is over there. There's some quality shows. Royce and Dutch. Some good shows over there. But we're part of that little family of shows. And they rebroadcast our show, I want to say it's Tuesdays, but go to morelikeradio.com. Right. Follow them on Twitter at morelikeradio and check them out. Check out all their shows. It's a good opportunity.
Right. And we're also trying to branch out and do some more like live appearances at different things. So we were supposed to do the New Jersey Collectors Convention in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I believe that was next weekend, next Sunday. I'm not sure what the date is. It was the first Sunday in May.
Right.
Oh, but we're not going to be, I don't think we're going to be able to actually get there, which stinks because I really wanted to go to that.
Yeah. For those of you who remember, again, going back to the older days, for those of you who remember, there wasn't a show in New Jersey, New York, or Philly.
Yeah.
A big show, at least, that we didn't do. We did Super Mega Show. We did Wizard Philly. We did
Chiller.
Big Apple Con, Chiller, Monster Mania.
Yeah.
I mean, we had tables at all of those events for years. For years.
Yeah. And speaking of which, let's give them all a bit of a plug right here.
Sure.
Chiller is actually this weekend.
That's right.
The last weekend in April. I think that's the.
That's right.
What, 20?
The
7th, 8th, and 9th, I think.
Right.
That's in New Jersey. I'm not sure. Look it up. Chillertheater.com. And they have a great bunch of guests, including Ram from Tron.
Tron, nice.
So I got to get over there. And the guy that played the dad in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Nice.
I don't know, I just want a picture with him.
Just cause.
But I can do that thing at Chiller. I can do that sort of thing. And they have a whole list. Oh my God. There's so many people going to be at Chiller that I'm concerned a little bit.
Oh, as always?
So that I got to get everybody. I would feel that way. And so there's that. There is the New Jersey Collectors Con OG. We'll put a link up to it so you can
get
all the information about that. And definitely, you know, check them out and so on and so forth. I'm crestfallen that I cannot be there. I so wanted to be there, and it's just not going to work out, which stinks. And then what? Do we have other ones? We have some other.
We just did Geek Flea.
Right.
Right. Which we'll be part of.
We didn't make the candy coated show.
We did not make the candy coated show.
We have a lot of crap just befalling us.
Well,
sometimes.
You know, the candy coated show was bad timing, both with my relocation, and then my son got really sick last weekend.
Right.
So that kind of threw a hamper on that.
You know, that kid is becoming a real nuisance to this program.
Well, you know, I'm what am saying. I going to do? Mocha,
yeah, like, trade him in.
By the time you hear this, Mocha will have come and gone.
That's
and
true.
I've noticed on the Mocha website, no podcasts. So I'm going to try to make some contacts this past weekend, and maybe next year.
Yeah, we'll be
we
there.
Could be the we could cover Mocha more fully. Toy Street, I think, is coming back at some point before the end of the year.
Oh,
I've been talking to those guys, so hopefully we'll be at that.
Cool.
I know some of you have been asking already about New York Comic Con. Believe me, there's some of you have been asking about table space and being a guest.
Right.
Some of you have been asking, you know, do we definitely have a table? We operate under the assumption
that we have
that
a table.
We will be there. For those of you who want to be a guest or you have some, I mean, you can contact me. Certainly that's something we can take into consideration and discuss.
Geekstuffog @gmail.com.
That's right.
And make sure you open all letters with, hey, Kev.
If you don't want to be a guest, that's the best way to do it. And, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of events that we're trying to, if we're not going to have a booth or a table at, we're going to try to at least go and represent the show.
Yeah.
So
we are trying to get back out there. I will. I'm still about 95% sure, probably 90% sure, if I'm being honest.
Right.
I'll be at Celebration this summer.
Okay. Awesome.
So that's for certain. Neither of us is going to San Diego this year.
Yeah. You know, every year, I don't know the next time I'm going to go to San Diego. To be honest with, like, I want to go to see those to see certain people.
Sure.
But then, a lot of the people that I want to see, I think I'm just going to go to DesignerCon instead.
Yeah.
And see them there.
Yeah.
You know, that's an event I haven't had a chance to go to. So, but there's lots of stuff.
So bringing this back full circle.
Right.
Yeah. We're trying to get back to the point that we were, where we were able to, or where we were ready to kick off the sort of live thing periodically and then perhaps regularly at some point. We're just not there. We had a huge step backwards in that regard, but it's coming. So just hang in there. You know, tell more people about the show. That's the best thing you can do for the show is tell more people about it.
Absolutely.
And keep listening, of course, and keep participating and so on and so forth. Facebook, so on and so forth, because those are the things that really help us, you know, help move us forward, which moves us into categories that we're not categories or positions rather.
Sure.
To be able to expand and explore those different avenues.
And with that,
OG, what did we learn?
I wish.
Oh.
No, we're not there yet.
Oh.
All right. Let's do this.
Geek Stuff, DVD News.
We're going to go back 2 weeks and just highlight a couple things because we weren't here 2 weeks ago.
Is DVDs becoming irrelevant?
No.
I don't think so either.
And I'll tell you why.
And a lot of people are like, DVDs are irrelevant.
No, they're not. And I'll tell you why. Because there is no outlet that still provides you digitally with everything that you can get on DVD.
That's true.
Netflix streaming, which I love, I have to have a DVD package with it because there's a bunch of stuff that they don't have streaming. So I still need to have those DVDs.
Right.
On demand is still limited. And if you don't watch it within the window, it gets pulled.
Right.
So DVDs and Blu-ray, not yet irrelevant.
Okay.
That being said, 2 weeks ago, American Dad Volume 7 came out on DVD.
Really like that show, don't you?
I think that show is funnier than Family Guy. Many weeks.
Really?
And I actually watched all three of those shows.
What about Cleveland?
I like Cleveland too.
I think Cleveland's funny.
I'm down with Cleveland. 8 is Enough. The complete first season.
No.
Came out on DVD 2 weeks ago.
I had a crush on at least 2 or 3 of the girls. Of the girls? On that show. At least 2 or 3 of the girls on that show.
Young Justice Season 1 Volumes 1, 2, and 3, which I will be procuring, came out 2 weeks ago. Bob's Burgers, which is funny when I get to watch it, came out 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was it for 2 weeks ago. Okay. I mean, Ghost Protocol came out.
Right.
I don't know, a couple other things, but those were the big ones.
What about this week?
This week. There's not a lot this week either, to be honest with you. The Innkeepers came out this week, which I wanted to see. It's a little indie kind of horror-ish film, but I heard some pretty good things about it. But the two things that came out this week that I really want to pick up, because I heard amazing things about both of them, Marvel Anime The X-Men and Marvel Anime Iron Man, complete series, both came out this week. And I heard really good things about The X-Men, for sure. So I want to check out those. And I think that was it. I think those were the big ones this week. So that was DVDs. Let's move on to this.
Geek Stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
Again, last week, just a couple things I thought we should highlight maybe. We're not going to go into as depth, but some big ones that you hear us talk about at least week to week. Batman number 8 came out last week. That's a continuation of the Talon.
Right.
Quarter Owls storyline.
Yeah.
Justice League 8 came out last week, obviously, which is a continuation of the whole saga going on there. Also, Green Arrow's introduction to the team. Red Hood and the Outlaws, which is a book.
Did he join the team?
I haven't read it yet.
Was there some question?
Red Hood and the Outlaws, which is something that me and you both really are enjoying a lot. Yeah. That came out last week. And Avengers versus X-Men number 2 also came out last week. So if you're following that story, that was out last week. This week, I have a few, but I know you have a few too, so I'll let you go first.
No, let you go first. You're on a roll.
Sure. Do you have Batman Beyond Unlimited over there? I don't want to steal your thunder.
Did that come out this week?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the second printing, and I missed the first printing of it. So that's what...
scared the hell out of me.
Batman The Dark Knight number 8.
Yep, that I got.
Is out this week.
And we should talk about that, actually. It's
sure.
David Finch, who is just...
Amazing.
Fabulous. Great writer. Well, a good writer. A great artist. This continues the whole... He's stuck in some sort of weird Wonderland thing where he's fighting characters from Alice in Wonderland. It's kind of a weird bit of a thing.
Okay.
I think it ends here, though. Hold on, I'm checking. Nope. Yeah, it does, because Night of the Owls is next... The whole Night of the Owls crossover is starting.
Is next week. Issue. Awesome.
Next issue, sir.
Sorry.
Yes, go on.
Also out this week, I think that was the only DC book that I wanted to mention.
Okay.
In books that I read, Danger Girl Revolver 4 of 4 is out this week. That wraps up that series.
Thank God.
And Army of Darkness Ongoing, number 3, also out this week. That is really an interesting Army of Darkness tale.
Okay.
It's a new kind of spin on the Army of Darkness world. I like it.
Okay. Well, OG, here's a book you should be reading. It's Green Hornet, number 24. Next week, we're going to wrap up our series, Why OG Should Be a Green Hornet Fan, to coincide with the end of that contract.
I'm softening on some of the product. I'm considering watching the original show.
That, if you know what,
I don't know that I can get behind the books.
If I just got you to read, if I just got you to watch the original show, that would be enough.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, no. Netflix? I don't think it's been officially released ever.
It's never been officially released on DVD? Interesting.
All right. Has the Batman TV show ever been officially released?
Yes.
It has?
On DVD? Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe it was like the classic 69 or... No, it was. I remember from my days working at Suncoast.
Oh, wow. That long ago? Even.
Yeah.
Wow. Green Hornet 24 from Dynamite. Check that out. Now, here's a bit of a thing.
Okay.
It's Moon Knight number 12.
Right.
Which apparently...
Is
the last issue.
Right.
Because it says, the end. Moon Knight will return in the Age of Ultron. I don't know what the Age of Ultron is, and I don't know...
That I care?
No, it's not even that. It's like, this was never announced as a miniseries.
Yeah, but we've been speculating the end of Moon Knight for forever. The past five issues, so...
I don't understand why this keeps happening to this character.
Who's the illustrator on that book?
It's... Yeah, the art's a little weird. Is that where you're going? It's Alex Maleev.
It is. I was going to say, is it Alex Maleev? Yeah, it's weird, but I like it.
Yeah, it kind of works. So, I'm a little sad, I have to say, because, you know, I really like this character.
You're just a Moon Knight fan. I understand.
I just don't think anyone's doing anything decent with
sure.
him. And now it's over again. So, I don't know. Kind of sad, I guess. I wanted to talk about this while we're in comics.
Okay, go for it.
This week, we were treated to the free special edition preview of Stieg Larsson's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the comic.
Well, oodalali.
Well, no, sir. I have to say, and I was very much like you. I was like a whoopee. Denise Mina
okay.
doing the writing. The artists are Leonardo Manco and Andrea Moody.
Okay.
Are these all Italians? Who is this?
What's wrong with that? You got a problem with Italians?
Well... You know.
Who doesn't hate Italians?
Yeah, you know, that old gag. No, I wanted to say that the art was actually really spectacular. And
lovely.
It is not based on the movie. It's not a movie translation.
So is it based on the book?
I'd say it's, well, clearly it's based on the book, but it's not a movie adaptation.
Okay, so it's just based on the book.
I want to be very clear about the fact that this is not a movie adaptation and these characters do not look like the ones in the book. However... the ones in the movie, right? However, I think the art is really good.
Okay.
And so I'm actually going to be a waiter.
Okay. All right.
So when this is done, I will actually read it. And they do actually give you a nice set of previews. Vertigo Preview 2012 is in the back. So there is something to admire about this book besides this book. Dominique Leval, Voodoo Child. Coming in 2012.
All right.
The New Deadwardians, which is a zombie book.
All right.
Saucer Country.
You know, you're not winning me over here.
I know, but you're not a big Vertigo fan. And what about Ferrest?
I like Vertigo.
That's
you
what
don't,
I'm saying.
Don't say that I'm not.
Art by
like
Phil
Vertigo.
Jimenez.
Ooh.
Cover by Adam Hughes.
Oh.
See?
Uh-oh.
Look at that cover.
It's beautiful.
You're owned.
I know.
Anyway,
fucking huge.
So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with this Girl with the Dragon Tattoo book. So I wanted to say, if anyone wants to check out a free preview, I think the art is pretty awesome. Lee Berhamo cover is incredible.
And we like the Lee
Berhamo.
That guy.
In trades this week, I wanted to point out Jonathan Lehman and Rob Guillory's
okay.
Chew Volume 5. It's called Major League Chew.
Jesus.
And we've talked about the Chew book 100 times. It is hysterically funny, a really good read, and the art, Rob Guillory's art, is really great. I gotta meet this guy, because this is one of those things where I'm like, is Rob Guillory at this convention? Because, you know, like, I want to get him to do a sketch for me.
All right.
So check that out. That, of course, is from our friends over at Image Comics, imagecomics.com. Gonna run you $12.99, not bad for a trade, folks, and it's a good read.
Geek stuff, product reviews.
All right, product this week.
Yes, sir.
I have two things that I want to talk about.
Dose
things. These are two products by or in association with Doc A. I think we might have mentioned in the past, but I'm not sure. The collector's badges, pins that he's putting out.
Yeah,
okay. So, I have here the seventh one in the collection. Okay. Because he puts out one a month. And why I want to talk about this is because it's a different character than what you're used to seeing him do.
Okay.
For those of you who are really into Doc A, you've seen a bunch of his characters. For those of you who are casually into Doc A, you've seen one character design used a lot of different ways. So the reason why I wanted to mention this is because it is a different design. There is one more of this design, a different colorway of this design coming out May 5th. And then for June 5th, he starts over again. There are always four.
Right.
So you can check this out. This is a Bella Lemire. They're always limited to 100. They always come out on the 5th of the month. So go to spookypop.com and check out the shop for these.
There you go.
Moving on.
Yeah, that piece is really cool.
This is Chester Runcorn, designed by Doc A, produced and distributed by Kuso Vinyl. That's K-U-S-O Vinyl.com. He retails for about $65. You can go over to Kuso Vinyl and pick him up. He is still in stock.
Cool.
Although, if you look elsewhere on the interwebs, you could probably get him for a little bit cheaper than $65.
Oh, you shouldn't say that, sir. You're going to piss off Kuso.
I'm just saying I may or may not have paid $65.
That's all I'm saying.
That being said, it is a great piece. I love it. Huge Doc A fan. Great steampunk character design. Neo-Victorian character design.
He looks like an egg.
He kind of looks like an egg.
With a big mustache.
On a tripod.
And a tripod.
All right. So the mustache is like killer on this piece.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the best features. And the hat is kick-ass too.
It's all really cool.
Yeah. This is it's not an action figure. Clearly, there are no points of articulation.
No, it's a vinyl.
It's a straight-up
vinyl art piece.
So I want to say that I love this piece. It's great. Limited to 300 pieces. Awesome piece. Obviously, I bought one and I own one for my collection.
Let me do it.
Go ahead.
But
I'd like to see something else. For example, I have the Humphrey Mooncalf piece. I have this. I have not the two-tone Dunny, but the 2010 Doc A Dunny. I have the Med-El piece that he did. I have all of the Mectorians, right? My point is the Med-El, the 2010 Dunny, Humphrey Mooncalf, this piece. It's all variations on the same character.
Okay.
Right now, I understand the idea of the Mectorians. They're kind of robotic, and so they're created by someone, blah, blah, blah. So you could have multiples. That being said, if you're not familiar with Doc A's work, look it up. Go to his site.
Right.
His design are awesome. He's come up with some great pieces. I just want to
see work.
Even some like for his custom show that he did in the UK last year. I mean, there were some awesome pieces in that line.
Wow.
I just want to see some of those. Or something different represented in something like this.
Did you send a foreign correspondent to show?
Well, I knew the guy that ran the show. That was my foreign correspondent.
Because foreign correspondent, Matt Booker.
Yeah. Well, he is friends with the guy that runs that show.
I see.
So he actually brought me to that shop when I was there a year ago. Speaking of Matt Booker, quick aside, Corsham Family Fun Day coming up soon. Check out the
Didn't that happen already?
No. Oh, it might be this weekend or next weekend. Okay. So it's coming up. So
you can either go to Chiller or the Corsham Family Fun Day in England.
Right. Depending on where you live. look, listeners all over the world, sir. So that being said, I love this piece. You should go pick up this piece. Go to KusoVinyl.com. Grab your Chester Runcorn. But in the future, Doc A, Kuso Vinyl.
And OG is speaking directly to you, Doc A.
Whoever, Pobber Toys, whoever's producing your next piece, I just want to see a variation. That's all I'm saying. I love your work.
Here's what I want.
What?
I want to switch two artists that I enjoy. This is what I think our thing should be. I almost hesitate to say this.
Okay.
I almost hesitate to say this. Okay, here's our thing. We are going to do this, okay? We got to get artists that we like to switch their subject matter. So I want to see, this is the one I'm going to propose.
Right.
I know at least one of these guys, we're going to reach out to them. And this has got to be something that we can kind of work out in association with Big Kev's Geek Stuff or something. I want to see Doc A do pandas.
Okay.
And I want to see
Wobots do
Wobots do a steampunk piece. There it is. That's it. Write it down. That's what I want. That's what I want. Oh, what is that?
That was it's a sticker from the Army of Snipers Kickstarter project. I was like I was a backer. I think I put in like $5 and I got a sticker.
Let me see the sticker. Wobots is awesome.
Yeah, there was a
and
bunch
he's
of
the nicest guy too.
The Army of Snipers, by the way, if you haven't checked them out, the documentary and the work they did, they went overseas. They went to somewhere in Asia. I forget where it was exactly. But anyway.
So listen, I'm putting this out there.
Army of Snipers. That's, you heard you. Check them out.
You know what? I bet if we got maybe a Tenacious Toys involved in this project, yeah. I bet you this project would be huge.
You know what? We might be able to do it through like Kickstarter. Get it funded or something like that.
We have to reach them.
Yeah. Well, I understand that.
I'm telling you, we get like a Tenacious All Toys right. or we get like somebody involved. That would be awesome. And then we could pick two more.
Yeah, and just have them
completely switch.
Have them switch. All right.
That would be awesome. Oh my God, I'm a genius.
Well, slow down. Take a breath.
I am a genius.
Slow down.
OG, now that I've taken a breath.
Yes.
I think we should take our final break.
We should.
And we'll be right back with the wrap up, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 246, Marvel and DC Take Note.
Right.
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain.
Narf.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 246, Marvel and DC Take Note. You thought
that
I wasn't going to get it.
That is a fucking banging idea.
All right.
It's a great idea.
All right.
Someone's going to steal it from us. We got to do it in it, like right away because someone is going to totally steal it from
us. We could get who could get Killer Croc and.
That's not funny. you laugh now, but when that Killer Croc guy has a following.
All right.
I got some Killer Croc pieces. Do you have some?
Not yet.
That's what I'm saying. And when that guy catches on.
Yeah,
he will. You'll regret the fact you didn't get any.
We'll see.
Look, the point is that we're talking about an idea that would really be successful, and we don't want anyone to steal it. That's why we're recording it now.
All right.
And we're going to get on this. I'm serious.
Pending.
I'm totally serious.
All right.
Totally serious. It would be awesome.
As serious as you are, let's rein it in.
Right.
And let's wrap it up.
Let me tell you something else I'm serious about. Superpower Collectibles.
Absolutely.
I am totally serious. You have got to go over to Superpower Collectibles. Spend $50 over there. Use the coupon code BIGKEV and you get $10 off your order.
Right.
That is a significant savings, my friend, in this economy.
$10 off your order of $50 more.
I said
that. Oh, you did? I'm sorry.
Spend $50. Use the coupon code BIGKEV.
I missed the $50 part.
Spend, save $10.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
And this week, free glass of wine.
Ooh, next week, free massage.
No.
That's true. Don't forget, Superpower Collectibles has more than just statues and toys.
Comics. They have, they do have comics. They do have toys. They do have collectibles, statues.
Yeah.
Everything.
Just go to superpowercollectibles.com. You won't regret it.
No.
Use coupon code BIGKEV.
Yeah.
Get your discount off your purchase of $50 more.
Yep.
And help everybody out.
Look,
help sponsor, help the show.
You're going to drop $50.
Sure.
Go do it over there. You're helping the show. You're helping the sponsor. You're helping yourself to $10 off.
That's right.
Bang.
Who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want that? Superpowercollectibles.com. OG, what did we talk about besides the enormously great idea on this week's episode of Big Heavy?
Nathan Fillion, Neil Patrick Harris, Megan Fox, Paul Rubens, Alfred Molina, and a bunch of others all tagged by Robot Chicken for their DC special. Some footage was shown from The Hobbit that involves Gandalf, something not from the books.
A new He-Man comic book series coming from DC, which sounds like a loser. And the winner's side of that, though, A Wrinkle in Time... adaptation by Hope Larson. Sounds really good. As well as Scott Pilgrim Color Edition Volume 1 coming this summer. For all you Scott Pilgrim fans and soon-to-be fans.
Guy Pearce playing scientist, geneticist Aldrich Killian in Iron Man 3, the creator of the nanotechnology that Stark uses to revolutionize his armor. Some children's movie director is unfortunately possibly tagged to Lobo. Stan Lee is not in the wrong in his comments regarding the credit for Jack Kirby.
We don't think so.
I don't think so. And we're correct, so he's not in the wrong. And Chris Robertson leaving his writing career at DC Comics because, quite frankly, he don't like how they're treated.
And you know what? And not for nothing, he's saying things that I bet you most of his contemporaries wish they could say.
Sure, absolutely.
So there's that. And what does that mean? Is he going to jump ship and go to Marvel? Because that would be a hypocritical fucking...
No, the rumors are that he's talked about that he's got some independent stuff.
Oh, yeah?
That he's probably going to either self-publish or shop around.
Right.
Someone will scoop him up, yep, and his stuff will get published. So
that's awesome. We also talked about, in that vein, we talked about the Eisner Award nominees being announced and the decided lack of Marvel and DC entries, even though Vertigo is DC. We really separated, I feel.
Sure.
So we talked a bit about that. And then in segment two, we addressed the phone call about, will we ever do a live show again?
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes, but I wouldn't say tomorrow.
Right.
Sometime in the near future, I would say. But, you know, as you guys know, we've been trying to get this aspect of Big Kev Pizza up and running back to 100%. And to kind of get all the things rolling that we had just started rolling out, Little Feet and Pizza, Super Game stuff. There's other things than that we were trying to get rolling around as well. So we will do that at some point. We are getting out more as far as personal appearances, I guess, for lack of a better expression. We are also part of More Like Radio.
That's right.
.com, which you can check out. And a bunch of other things as well. We got our thumbs in a lot of pies.
That's right. In DVDs last week and this week, 8 is Enough, season 1 out on DVD.
I don't know. I'm
kind of pick that up.
Semi-excited about that a little.
American Dad, volume 8, I believe. Young Justice, season 1 collections 1, 2, and 3 in a 3-pack.
You know, 8 is Enough, sir, featuring a young Willie Ames.
That's right. And 8 is Enough was a spinoff, right? Of wasn't 8 is Enough a spinoff of something?
Nope, sir.
I thought 8 is Enough.
Also, a very young Ralph Macchio.
Yes.
As a cousin later. Later, cousin Oliver.
Jesus.
No. Brady Bunch.
Also out on DVD, Marvel Anime, X-Men Complete Series, and Iron Man Complete Series. So check those out. We moved on to comic books. A few things. Batman number 8. Is a big one from last week, along with Justice League number 8 out last week. This week, Danger Girl Revolver number 4, Army of Darkness ongoing number 3, Batman the Dark Knight number 8 out this week.
Green Hornet number 24, Dynamite Entertainment. The supposed final issue of Moon Knight number 12 by Ben. Also, free with your purchase if you have a participating comic book store is the free special edition preview of Stieg Larsson's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo from Vertigo Comics, which I think looks like it's going to be a pretty decent thing.
Right.
So I don't have any. And in trades this week, I said Major League Chew, or just Chew Volume 5.
Right.
From our friend over at Image. This is really a terrific book.
In our product review this week, Chester Runcorn, Port Edition by Kuso Vinyl.
Chester.
Designed by Doc A. Check that out over at KusoVinyl.com. Limited to 300 pieces worldwide. $65 price tag, but well worth it if you are a fan of that band. And I think that's it. So don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our content, including Studio V, hopefully some new ones that coming down the pipeline.
Uh-huh.
Also, you can go to Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, at BKGeekStuff, and at GeekStuffOG over at Twitter, YouTube.com/BKGeekStuff.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's it. Oh, the GVM line.
Yes, 425-920-6050. Leave us a message, and you may hear yourself just like the fella tonight on a future episode where we will address your issue, your question, your concern, your inquiry.
And with that, I think we're about done.
We're out. I'm not ending it.
Oh.
Because, OG, I can only end the show one way, and that is to say, night just, Mike, wherever you are.
I'm editing that out.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on.